Much better. All right. Heavenly Father, we are so in awe of you. You span everlasting to everlasting. You know the end from the beginning, and you called us from the foundation of the earth. You know our sitting down, and you know our rising up. You know our thoughts afar off. Lord, the thoughts that you have toward us, they are without number. We can't even begin to imagine all the things that you think about us. So, Lord, we just bow our hearts before you, knowing, Lord, that you have all wisdom. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would just be fill us to overflowing. Fill us, Lord, that we might accomplish your purposes. Lord, I pray that we would abide in you and that we would listen to no other voice. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us, for not leaving us orphans, for sending your Spirit that will lead us into all truth. So, Father, I pray, have your way with us. As we hear your words, Lord, I pray that we would obey that which you have revealed to us. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And unto the angel in the church of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now we need to keep in our mind that all seven of these letters are for the church, all of them. Each and every one of them says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The spiritual ear of the Holy Spirit is going to teach us and is going to show us the things that need to be done. Here he says in there that there's some things that we're doing that is getting ready to die, that we need to strengthen those things up. So we need to be mindful of what it is that we're about, the things that we're doing. It's interesting that the name Sardis means remnant. How interesting it is that the letter seems to be about a remnant of people that have not defiled their garments. But the majority of them have. And that's what the Lord is here to tell us, that there is a remnant that have not defiled their garments. Now, we kind of like to think of ourselves as, you know, we go through these, we say, well, those guys there. Remember last week when we were in Thyatira? Well, that's, you know, that's those guys. It's not us. Because, hey, we don't do any of those things, but we do. Remember, the call is to the individual. He that hath an ear, he, the person, he or she, Mr. and Mrs. Man, if you will, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is throughout all of it so that we don't miss it. Churches, plural. All of these are for us. From Ephesus and Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. All of these are for us. We have attributes in our own self of all of these. And we need to be mindful of those. There is none that are so blind that will not see, as the saying goes. If you think that you don't have these things, then you're not searching hard enough. Or you're lying to yourself. Or you're thinking that you're something when you're nothing. Pride is the great blinder. We saw that Satan was lifted up in pride and it blinded him of who he was. He was a created thing. He was not the creator. He had ambitions to be like the creator, but there was no way that he could be the creator. He could only be a created thing. The Bible tells us what we are. We are sinners. Period. That's what we are. We come from a family of sinners, And all of our progenitors after are going to be sinners as well. We come from a fallen race. We are S-I-N positive. And there's no getting rid of it. It's in our DNA. It's in our flesh. Thank you, Mom and Dad, Adam and Eve, as the little one here, as I know them. Yeah, I know them all too well as well, you know, and I follow after their pattern. I rebel against what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that we should be humble before our God. Now, if we don't have a clear view of who God is, then we're going to have a little trouble. And the world today would bring God, the creator of heaven and earth, of the universe, from everlasting, to our buddy boy. You know, you've seen the icons there, or, oh, Jesus is my homeboy, or this or that. You know, Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth, and we need to revere him as such. He is in heaven. We are in earth. We think about Jesus Christ and we think, man, he is the creator. The creator of the world is thinking about me all the time. Even more than I think about me, if that's possible. Because he's thinking about me when I'm not even aware of the things that are going on. He knows my future. He knew my past. He knows my present. He knows my place in this world, and I need to know my place in him. I have been saved by grace because of what he has done. And so, man, this is where I sit. And so now Jesus has written seven letters, seven epistles to seven different churches that span the beginning of the church all the way to the end of the church. We see in prophetic viewpoint, hey, every age of the church is spelled out here. We saw the apostolic age with Ephesus. We saw the suffering church through Smyrna. We saw the world marrying the church, or the church taking on the things of the world in Pergamos. And now we saw, and then we saw Thyatira, where they have taken those things and made them an abomination. And now we're looking at the remnant here in Sardis. Now Sardis represents the Reformation. And if you know anything about the Reformation, this is where the Protestants came from. And if you look at the Protestant church, nothing is good said about it. That's disturbing. That's terrifying, folks. Nothing good is said. Where you see here, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead, that's where the commendation comes in on all of the other letters. We don't have that. That's not in there. That should disturb you. What's going on here? It's interesting that he uses the titles of himself. Is it he that hath the seven spirits of God? Now we saw before when we looked at chapter 1, we went back to Isaiah 11:12, and he said this, that we saw the sevenfold spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of spirit and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Did you know this is part of the Holy Spirit? This is attributes that describe the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon who? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, if we're in Jesus Christ, then this Spirit rests upon us as well. He promised us he was going to send the Holy Spirit. So these things are part of our psyche as well, in a spiritual sense. How often do we take part of that, though? You see, if we're always sitting there blabbermouthing about the things that we want and the things that we need and the other thing, rather than sitting quietly like Mary did, listening at the feet of Jesus, what he would have us to do, or what he would want us to what's going to happen tomorrow? Do we think that far ahead? Well, let's see. Let's take it back. What about when I'm on my way home today? Lord, are you going to be with me today? Well, yeah, I'm going to be with you. Are you going to guide my thoughts and my heart? Well, sure, I'm going to guide your heart and your thoughts. You mean even when that person cuts me off in the freeway or speeds up and then slows down in front of me? You mean he's even going to be there then? He says, yes, I've orchestrated these things. Can I get a testimony? Has that happened to anybody else? I've orchestrated these things because I want to grow you in patience. I don't want to hear that. I want you to grow in those things that you're weak in, those things that are ready to die. I want to grow you in those things. Don't despise the learning of the Lord. You think, Lord, where are you in these things? He says, I'm right there. I'm right there. I want you to call on me. Lord, help me. Lord, save me, like Peter did when he was sinking. Lord, save me. And he will give you that which you need. Will you accept what it is that he needs? Or what you need, that he gives you? Will you accept the peace? Will you accept that you have to forgive that person? Well, Lord, they didn't ask for forgiveness, so I don't know, you know. But I forgave you, and you didn't ask. You weren't even born when I took away your sin. Wasn't even born yet, and yet I forgave you and called you. From the foundation of the earth, I wrote your name in the book of life. And we'll get back to that in a little bit. I am he that hath the seven spirits of God. He knows. He knows. And the seven stars are the seven angels, as we saw revealed to us in chapter 1. The seven angels are the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. So he has everything in his hands. I've got it under control. It's in my hand. And there's nothing that can happen to you because you're in my hand. I know thy works. He says that with every church. Every person, the Lord knows your works. He knows what you're about. He knows what you're planning. He knows. He sees those things afar off. Sometimes we get caught up in a sin or something like that. We say, oh, Lord, how did this happen? And then we continue on because we really don't want to know how it happens. But if we're honest with ourselves, the Lord will take us back to the point of origin of where this started. You didn't just fall into it just because it was like a pothole in the road. No, you led steps to that area. And the Lord will show you, this is where it started. You did this. And then it grew. And then it grew. And then it grew. Until finally I wasn't even in your thoughts. And that's how you fell. When you don't keep the Lord in your thoughts, you're going to go off and you're going to fall in the ditch. The blind leading the blind. But if you have the light, as he is in the light, then you're never going to fall into those things. Because falling away means that you've gotten your eyes onto something else. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It happens to us all. But they happen so that we'll learn. Just like a baby. You know, like they start to walk and they don't just sit there and they walk around and they bebop here and there. They wobble and totter and then they fall down several times, many times. You kind of catch them so they don't hit their face on the edge of the table there. But that's what the Lord does. We wobble and we fall and what happens? You know, we got the little kid by the hand. We're taking them all around. It's so cute. But then we let them go. See how they're going to do on their own. Are they going to continue on in that path? Are they going to wobble and are they going to fall down? And what do we do when they fall down? Do we go, oh, you worthless kid, and kick them in the diaper and something? Oh, I can't believe it. I taught you how to walk and you just fall down? You're a walker, not a faller. Come on. No, we don't do that at all. We go over, we pick them, we comfort them, and we pick them up and say, okay, come on, let's try it again. Let's try it again. And that's the way the Lord is with us. Come on, let's try it. I'm not done with you. I mean, I've got a whole life that I'm going to lead you and guide you through. I'm not going to be done with you. No way. And that's going to play into the book of life when we get there. I want you to keep those things in your mind. We're all leading up into that one phrase in there. That you're not going to be blotted out of the book of life. Because it's a great concept and we have to keep in mind. But before we get there, we have to go through the others. You have a name that thou livest and art dead. The name means you have a denomination that you belong to. You know, as the Protestant church, I mean, I came from Catholicism, you know, which we dealt with not very in depth, but we did deal with it a bit in Thyatira. But now we're into the denominations, and this is what the name is all about. You have a name that says you're alive, but you're dead. This is what the Lord sees. You have a name. Are you alive or are you dead? The Lord says you're dead. You have a name that you're alive. Many churches out there with the names out there. Oh, you know, the Church of the Living God and blah, blah, blah. you know, I mean, there are all kinds of different names for the Protestant churches out there. But they're dead. How is it that they're dead? How can this be? How can the Holy Spirit be devoid when we have praise and worship services, when we have altar calls and throngs of people come down by the thousands? How is it that they're, how can we have a dead church? Well, the Reformation, if you go back into church history, and to get a good handle on this, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You know, it'll give you a good overview, I should say. There are many different nuances. If you're a history buff, it may be a fascinating read. But, you know, this is just the people that gave their lives for the gospel. Because you get to enjoy the written word sitting in your lap because so many people were burned at the stake or they were tortured and killed for not saying that, hey, I'm not going to deny Christ. I don't want to be denied before Him. And the only way that they knew that is because they had the Word of God. They were being taught the Word of God, not the dogma of men, but they had the Word of God, but they didn't go far enough. You see, the Reformation was just trying to do that. They were trying to reform a dead system. They were trying to reform, and that's not what the Lord would have us to do. The Lord doesn't want to reform you. The Lord wants to create a new creature. That's where the church kind of went wrong. Instead of trying to reform that which is dead, we want to create a new thing. That's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. When you read the Word of God, it has an effect on your mind and on your heart. And the Holy Spirit comes in and He starts to move you in that direction. Reading the Word of God, you start to look at this and you say, wow, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. What things remain? What is it that I need to strengthen? You need to strengthen your knowledge of the Word of God. You need to, and that will then bolster your faith. It's not that you're going to get more faith. The Lord gives you the faith to begin with. And as you read, you become more bolder in that faith. Remember what Jesus said. If you had the faith of a mustard seed, you'd be able to move this mountain. You would tell this mountain to move into the ocean. Or tell the sycamore tree, be uprooted and be planted in the midst of the sea. That's a little mustard seed of faith. So it isn't more faith that we need. We need to rely on who gives the faith. That's it. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in Jesus Christ, who gives us the faith. And He gives us the capacity to move forward in our thoughts and in our hearts and in our minds of who He is. That's what we really needed. We need to know who God is. And the more we know who God is, the more we're going to be able to respect Him. The more that we're going to say, wow, You are the awesome, almighty God. That's part of the work of the Spirit. Right? The fear of the Lord. The reverential respect for who He is. You get that down. Man, you're miles ahead of anybody, any competitor that you might have. Anything in this world that would hold your attention, all you have to do is realize, man, I know the Creator of the universe. And then you can look at man. He says, what can man do to me? I'm a child of the King. And when I leave this world, I'm going to be with Him. See, that's where we have to get in our minds. Nobody can really, I'm going to put you to death if you don't deny Jesus Christ. Sounds good to me. I get to go home today. I get to be with the Lord today. You know, sorry about y'all, but I'm going. You guys can stay here if you want. I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to deny Him who who bought me. He's the Creator of the universe. I'm going to stand before Him sooner or later. I'd rather have it be sooner. That was Paul's heart, you know. Paul says, for me, I would rather depart and be with the Lord far greater than to be with you guys. Not that I didn't like you guys or any of that kind of thing. But it's more needful for you that I'm here. And that's what the Lord says. While we're here, we're to encourage. We're to teach. We're to lift up each other in the most holy faith. We're to be examples one to another. Those are the things that we need to strengthen before they die. Those are the things we need to get into our mind. I need to get rid of the things of this world and grab hold of, with a grip of death, the things which belong to our salvation. These things are important. These things are going to be everlasting. I can work an extra couple hours and get a few extra bucks here. You know what? That's all going to perish. That's all going to go. It's all going to burn, if you want to put that vernacular on it. So be watchful. Be strengthen the things which remain. that are ready to die. You see, by neglect, these things die. My wife, bless her heart, she's got a black thumb when it comes to plants. Bring a plant in the house and you sentence it to death. Okay? She could kill a cactus. I mean, it's just that bad. It's been done. She did it. Okay? It's there. It's beautiful. I just don't think about watering it. Okay, you know. And henceforth it dies, you know. And we had this one. We had the stick sitting on our bookshelf. It was great. It was an orchid. Somebody had given it. It was a plant, you know. And it was kind of neat. All you had to do was water it once a month or so, you know. And then after a while the leaves fell off and she kind of looked at it. She said, I wonder if it's going to come back. So it just finally, it was just like, you know, the little fruit flies were all over. I said, no, it's dead, dear. We got to get rid of it. She said, well, I guess I should have watered it. You know, kind of a thing. If you leave it alone, it's going to die. Okay? Love my wife dearly, but she's got a black thumb. She can bake cakes, though. I mean, okay. But I digress. Leave it alone. Leave your faith alone. Leave the Lord alone. And your faith will die. It will die. And that's what happens when we get caught up in other things. When we neglect the Word of God that so many people died for to bring us these things. The church, the Thyatiran church tried to wipe out having people their own Word of God. Why? Because they weren't teaching the Word of God. You know, we teach the Word of God. We go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that we get the whole counsel of God. And the Lord just brings these things out to us when we need it. But we can't say that we didn't hear because it was right there. The only thing that we really can say is, I gave no heed to those things. I heard those things, but I didn't take them seriously. I didn't do the things. James says, be ye doers of the Word. And not just hearers only, deceiving yourself. Don't just be a hearer, but a doer. And it isn't that you're just hearing the Word on Sunday, hopefully not, and on Wednesday. Hopefully it's every single day that you're in the Word of God, that you're reading, prayerfully considering these things. He says in verse 2, he says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. They aren't complete. It's interesting here that Jesus is expecting something. As we have been given something, Jesus expects a response from us. He expects us to do those things. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? Here in my word, it says, do not do this. Do we do that? Do we? Oh, well, that's not for us today. You know, that's for them back then. We're under grace now, so, you know, being under grace is great, but we're under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do you know how the Word of God came to be? The Holy Spirit moved upon men, and they penned them down. And now we have the very heart of God codified in front of us. Do you think that He didn't mean it? Do you think that people, you know, that, well, you know, this murderer that was put to death. Well, you know, now that we're under grace, we can do those things. We can kill people now because we're under grace. And God will forgive us for those things, right? Well, think about it. Jesus kind of put it into perspective when he says, thou shalt do no murder. He says, if you even hate somebody in your heart, then you've committed murder already. Whew. Wait a minute. How many of us have committed murder? I bet everybody in this room. Why? What is it that Jesus is trying to tell us here? He's saying that if you're ruled by the Spirit, those thoughts won't even be a part of you. You will be ruled by peace, love, joy. Those are the things that the Spirit leads you to do. The Holy Spirit will never, ever lead you to do something that is strictly forbidden in the Scriptures. Will not do it. And that's how we know that we're walking by the Spirit, because we read the Word. I don't do that. I didn't even know I wasn't supposed to do that, but I'm not doing it because I'm being led by the Spirit. He's leading me into all truth. And all means
all.
All truth. The Holy Spirit does that. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't wash away some a gray area. Well, you know, this area, we'll just wipe this out for right now and we'll move on to something else. Every single word that is uttered from God is our food to eat. And we should eat it up like bread. It's the living bread. Jesus says, I am the Word. You're going to deny something about Christ? That's what you're going to do if you take any part of the Word and say, it's not for me. Then you know what you're saying? That, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I know better. I think I'll go my own way. And we all know how that worked out for some guy in Isaiah 14. If you wanted to look at Isaiah 14, he kind of went that, I'll do my own thing. I'll climb up the sides and I'll be worshipped as God. You know, because when you don't worship the God or the Lord, when you turn your back on the Lord, guess who becomes God? You do. You become the master of your fate. You become the one that saves your own soul because you know better. Oh, really? I can confess to you before, I don't know anything except for what the Lord. That's what Paul was saying. I don't profess to know anything except Jesus Christ crucified. That's what I know. And that's what I'm clinging to. Paul, I mean, he was pretty knowledgeable about a lot of things, but when it comes down to it, this is what I know. Jesus Christ died for me. That's it. That's all I know. And that's what I'm passing along. Jesus Christ died for me. I have not found thy works complete before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Now, that's a mouthful, but here it is now. He's given us the opportunity in a veiled form. Remember. Remember. You got to remember. How did you hear? In the Galatians chapter 3, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or of the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, the Galatians were having the same issue. Okay, they were trying to work their way in. They were trying to please God by their works rather than having God work through them to please God. When we yield ourselves to God, this is what pleases Him. When we say, Lord, I don't know what to do, He says, good. Do you want me to lead you? And we say, yeah, lead me. And as soon as we start to move out, you know, a perfect example of it, I shared with Jose earlier. He says, I was praying before the Lord told me to wear this. But he also then impressed upon my heart to grab a pack of paper. He just said, grab a pack of paper, they may be out. You know, not they may be out, but I added that. He says, grab a pack of paper and take it with you today. That was the Lord leading me to do what he wanted me to do. You know, and we think, oh, that was just that's nothing. That's a tiny little thing. It's the first step. You start to obey what the Lord has tells you to do. Don't question it. You know, I didn't. Okay, let me get on the phone and see if he needs something. I'm just going to do what it is that he says. And that now says, well, now I'm listening to his voice. I'm obeying that very small thing. And he's going to lead me on to another thing. And now that I'm hearing his voice, I'll know which way to go. I'll know what to do. As long as I'm calling upon him, he's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. So be mindful of that. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We cannot neglect the hearing of the word of God, the reading of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Turn away from your own thoughts. Turn away from your own desires. Turn away from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those things that would please the flesh. And we know when those thoughts come in because they are so pleasing to the flesh. This has got to be the way of God, right? Wrong. Wrong-o. When God led the children of Israel in the wilderness, they didn't want to be there. Hey, man, I want to be somewhere. You said something about milk, honey. All I'm seeing is dust and rocks and water coming out of a rock, and every morning manna falls down. This is not milk and honey. I did not sign up for this. They all perished in the wilderness. They all perished in the wilderness because they didn't understand how God was leading and guiding them. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now he's talking about here, I will come. We saw that in Thyatira. If you don't repent, I'm going to throw you into a bed of tribulation. Okay? These last four churches are going to be present when the Lord comes back. And so he's talking about here, I will come on thee as a thief. Now we remember hearing that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and starting at verse 1. Now, Paul was only at this church for like 3 weeks. But yet, you know, he taught them all about the rapture of the church and all of these other things. So it's kind of like interesting kind of a thing. But he says, verse 1, he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. And he had, in verse chapter 4, he was talking about the rapture of the church and that kind of thing. But you can put that in for another time of your study. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Whoa, interesting. So here we have the scenario. You know that the Lord is coming back as a thief in the night. Keep that in mind. For when they shall say peace and safety, not you, but they, that is the people of the world, will say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. So contrast it to what the Lord is saying here. If you don't watch, I will come on you as a thief. So don't dwell in darkness. Dwell in the light. If you're in the light as he is in the light, then you're going to be able to be, you're going to understand the times that you live in. The Lord is coming back soon. The days are becoming increasingly dark. They're going to become even darker. Don't look for the signs around to what the Lord, you know, okay, well, what are the signs that the Lord's coming back? An evil generation seeketh after a sign. He has given you his Holy Spirit that you should be mindful every day that he could come back at any moment. Any moment he could come back. And when you live in that expectancy, you live a pure life. You're mindful of the things that you're doing. You don't get entangled with the things of the world, but you get entangled with the things of the Lord. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Oh, I'm sorry. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to comfort one another with this. Now, we are not waiting for the second coming of the Lord. We're waiting for the Lord to take us out of here. This is precluding that, hey, we're not watching. We're not ready. The parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Read those up. We talk about, you know, there's 10 virgins. You know, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 had the Holy Spirit, or the oil, and 5 did not. The 5 that had the oil went in with the bridegroom. The 5 were not watching. They weren't making ready. And that's what we need to do. We need to make ready. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Back to Revelation. I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. It's interesting, when you're in darkness, you can't see the signs anyway. The Pharisees couldn't. They sought a sign. Show us a sign that you're the Messiah. Hey, the signs were all around them. John the Baptist had come back, and they thought that he was that prophet that was supposed to come before the great and notable day of the Lord. But, hey, they didn't accept it. They didn't see it. They couldn't see it. Why? Because they dwell in darkness. You can only see the things of the Lord if you dwell in the light. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This garment, this walking in white. If you remember the description of Jesus Christ in chapter 1, where he had a white robe clothed down to the foot. Right? This is the righteousness of Christ. This is being clothed in light, like Adam and Eve were clothed in light. That's why they were naked and not ashamed, because they were clothed in Christ's righteousness. Shame only comes from sin. Shame only comes from doing that which, you know, you don't want anybody to find out about. But if you're walking in righteousness, you will be clothed in light. That's what he's talking about here. I will clothe you. You see, there was that parable of the you remember the wedding guest in Matthew 22? Okay, he goes out and he says, man, I'm inviting all these people to my party here, but, you know, they weren't worthy. They're not coming. They had other things to do. They were all things of the world, but the king, and I'm having a wedding for my son. Come on in and enjoy the fellowship. And they wouldn't come. He says, fine. Just go out into the highways and the hedges and compel as many as will come. And then the king went forth and looked through the guests there, and he saw a man that didn't have a wedding garment. And we think, well, wait a minute, this guy was poor. Maybe he couldn't afford one. The thing we have to understand about this is that the host supplied the garments. You know, unlike the weddings today, you know, where, you know, it's sometimes a financial burden for somebody to, you know, get a tux or a wedding garment or whatever like this. The host in that day supplied the wedding garment. And he says, friend, how is it that you came in here without a garment? That means they would not accept that which was given freely to them. Think about that. Salvation has been freely given to us. Will we accept that? You see, we've been called. And the very end of that, it says, for many are called, and few are chosen. And they told him to bind him up and cast him out. All he had to do was put on the righteous garment that had been given to him. That's what we do. When we accept Christ, the Lord clothes us in his righteousness. Oh, we may intellectually know that, but man, it doesn't seem to affect our behavior too much. You know, but if we keep that in mind, if we keep that in the forefront, that I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when the Father looks at me, he sees me glorified. We don't see ourselves glorified, at least I hope not, because man, we wouldn't be able to get out the door, our heads would be so big. Man, I'm so righteous. Father loves me so much, he can't take his eyes off me. This is true, but, you know, not in that sense. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now, this book of life, there's only one other place in the scriptures, and that's in Philippians, where he talks about the book of life. Now, there's a couple of schools of thought that I'm aware of. There may be more, but a lot of people, some people think that When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is written in this book. I've got a big problem with that. Because he talks about, more often than not, you know, not having your name blotted out. And that precludes that you could lose your salvation. You know, I can't buy that viewpoint, but hey, my idea, my thought, the way that I feel on this is that from the foundation of the world, every person that has ever been born had their names written, you know, by name. You know, that's why the Lord knows you by name, because he wrote them in this book of life. And that as you go through your life, if you leave this world without Jesus Christ, your name is then blotted out. Because if you look, it says, hey man, I'm looking, I don't see his name. His name doesn't appear in the book of life. It may have been here, but there's a big ink blot over it. I can't read it. It's been redacted, if you will. Bless you. And that's my take on it. Because the Lord says, of all that you have given me, Father, I have lost zero. None. Except for the son of perdition, Judas, you see. And that we kind of went, and I'm not trying to get into an eternal security kind of a thing here, but you can have security. How? By continuing on with Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, can a person lose their salvation? I don't believe so. I don't believe so at all. But I do believe that you can walk away from it. I do believe that you can be born again and walk away from your salvation. We see it time and time again in the Scriptures. Manasseh. I'll just pull one out of the hat. Manasseh. One of the most wicked kings that ever lived in the history of Israel. 55 years he ruled. Brought in all manner of idolatry and paganism and name it. If this guy, if it was a sin on the books, this guy was doing it. It's like he was reading the word just so that he could violate it. Okay? But then he went into captivity. And while he was in captivity, he repented. And you just go, wow. After all of that, how many people did he put to death? How many people did he dissuade from following after the Lord? How many people got a stumbling block put on him because of this king, and the Lord saved him? The Lord forgave him for that? You see, there's no sin that the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for. He died for all sin. There is only one sin that is not covered by that. One sin and one sin only. Do I have your attention now? And that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That is the sin that will not be forgiven. Not in this world nor in the next. And you know what that is? It's saying that when you hear that Jesus Christ died for your sins and every one of your sins have been taken away, you say, no, I don't believe that. You're saying that the Holy Spirit is a liar. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that. I think I'll make my own way. I'll do my good works. But, you know, I don't like that, you know, Jesus thing. So that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that will stop you from getting into the kingdom. That's the only one. Because Jesus Christ died for every sin. Anybody that stands before the great white throne judgment, they're going to look, they're going to open up this book, and they're going to say, his name does not appear. Why doesn't it appear? Because you said that Jesus Christ didn't die for my sin. He said, I don't believe it. But here it is. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Oh, man. Can you imagine? Oh, man, I don't know about you, but I long to hear the words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your... There is nothing in my mind that is more horrifying to me than to say, depart from me, ye accursed. I never knew you. That it gives me shivers even now. You know, every time I think about that. So I want to keep myself pure. I want to keep myself in the love of God. I want to do those things that the Holy Spirit bids me. I want to know the voice of Jesus Christ. I want to be able to go at a nanosecond's moment. When he speaks, man, I want to be there. That's what I want. I want to know the Lord like he knows me. And the only way to do that is to study the Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's what the Word tells us. Study to show yourself approved, not unto man, not for position or you know, respect of people, but unto God. That you're a servant, ready to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. To be able to teach, to be able to encourage, and to know who God is. Remember the first part of that. I never knew you. Man, I know you. That's what Jesus is going to say. I know this guy. I've been with him all of his life, and he has obeyed me, and I've taken away his sin. Oh. It's got to go. All right. So, in closing, I would like to just say this. Verse 6. Chapter 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now I encourage you to read chapters 2 and 3 as a whole, just to get the flavor of what it is that the Lord is telling us. and then pick it apart. Go through. Look at the commendations on some of them. And look at, well, this one doesn't have one, but there's you know, two that have nothing good said about them. There are others that have nothing bad said about them. But they're all for our learning. And each and every one of those churches is in you, is in this fellowship, is in this denomination, is in this world. And we need to follow after the Lord. And we need to do what it is that He says. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. We thank You, we love You, and we are just so in awe of all that You do. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit that leads us and Lord, separates us from this world in our thoughts, in our hearts, and in our minds. Father, have Your way with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.